listening to Weekend Warriors Home Improvement Show with Tony and Corey, built by Par Lumber. Now, here's Tony and Corey.
Hey, good morning. Welcome back, everybody. What did you give? You pointed at me.
I didn't say to say good morning.
Oh, that's what it is.
It's not really morning.
It's
Corey,
not.
Corey just feels like that it's morning for him, you know, for several hours after he gets out of bed. So
good day, everybody.
It's not day.
Morning.
It is day.
You don't want to be that specific anymore. stay vague. It's a really good motto.
While we're on the subject, let's welcome a few new stations, a few new affiliate stations to the Weekend Warrior family, just really quickly. Longview, Washington, News Talk Sports Talk AM 1400, KEDO in Longview, welcome. KAST, Cast 1370, News and Talk for the Coast is in Astoria, welcome Astoria. And in Newport, News Talk 1310 KMPT AM and News Talk 98.3 FM, welcome Newport. Yes.
Excellent.
Very exciting.
All right. So on the phone right now, we have our very, very good friend, Penelope, with
Hi.
Organize Me, Penelope.
Good morning, Penelope. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well. How are you guys?
We're doing great.
We are doing fabulous. We are so excited to hear your tip, your organizing tip of the day or of the week.
Yes. All right. Well, let's get into it. So we're going to shift from awareness that we spoke about a couple of weeks ago.
Yep.
We're gonna move into movement. So now that we have awareness, I think movement is like choices, knowing that we have choices every second of our lives, what we eat, what we wear, what we think about ourselves, other people, the role we want to play. You know, it's like, are we going to be a victim in our life?
Mm-hmm.
Be a victor? What are we choosing?
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because in the organizing industry, people, you know, professional organizers, we always say that clutter is postponed decisions.
Hmm.
So if you can think of it that way, like clutter is delayed choices, then we can wonder, how do we create more of those decisions in the moment so that we can, you know, move forward and pass the clutter?
It's the perfect follow-up to awareness. So the first thing that you have to do is become aware. And once you're aware, then you have to make the choice. Literally, that is exactly what it's all made up of. You have to become one with your situation and then be strong enough to make the choice, the right choice, for your situation.
Yeah, and sometimes the shadow side of choice, you know, I just like to touch on sometimes the other side, is that it's overwhelming, because I would say the most common reason people call is they feel really stuck. And so how to deal with feeling like there's too many choices and you can't get out of the chair or off of the couch and make one, you know? All the what ifs can be very paralyzing. And so how to turn that around and to get out of the chair and empower yourself. I think leaning towards movement and just getting up is a great start.
Mm-hmm. And that fits right in with your physical well-being, not just moving to maybe clean or organize, but moving to be active. We were talking earlier about how kids oftentimes these days, and adults honestly, are so tied to their electrical devices that that they can't seem to focus on a radio show that they're hosting, or they can't focus on family time. So making the choice to get up and move and do something physical that's not tied to something electronic is a choice, and that's something we should definitely be sensitive to.
I feel like you're in my head, Corey, because I just made a commitment to myself literally a couple of days ago to have Sundays be technology-free days for me and my family.
Oh,
I think that's a great idea.
As do I. I think that's a great idea as well.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to that, and that's the choice. And it's kind of a big choice. It made me shake in my knees a little bit, like, oh, that's a big... For some reason, it feels really big and scary, but that's a good reason to go for it, yeah.
I'll tell you what I just did. We opted out of cable.
Great.
Cable TV?
Cable TV. And I'll tell you what, I love it. I am no longer glued.
What's different?
Oh, I'm no longer glued to the DVR. You know, we come home from work every day and we say, what's on the DVR? There's at least three or four shows on there that we have to watch. Mm-hmm. So now it's, you know, it's we eat dinner, we pick up, we go through the mail, we talk.
Play Legos with the kids.
Yeah, we play with the kids, and yeah, it's not tied. We're not tied to what's on TV tonight. I love it.
Oh, I love it. You've taken the leash right off of your family.
Yes.
I've done step one and now step two.
Yeah, step two. So I'd like to leave you with a little inquiry if you guys are up for the challenge.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, so I'll check in 2 weeks. But my question is for you and people at home, if they want to pick this up, what choices will we make today, right now, that will propel us forward?
What choices will we make right now today that will propel us forward?
Yep, on the path.
I'm going to post that on our Facebook page right now.
Yes, we're going to get some comments on that. Corey and I will formulate a plan for our own personal lives, and we will share that with our listeners when we have you on again.
I can't wait.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Penelope, for being on the show. We love having you on. Your cheery disposition leaves me with a smile after every conversation, so I appreciate that.
This
Thank
is
you.
True.
You're going to have to talk to my husband because you guys have probably different outlooks of my disposition, but I'll take it. Thank you.
Awesome. Thanks, Penelope. We will talk to you again.
Okay. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
I want to point out that everybody, we have Penelope on every 2 weeks now, mm-hmm. giving her organizational tips.
Yes.
And we are posting them on our Par Lumber Weekend Warriors blog. So if you go to par.com and click on Tony and I's link, the Weekend Warriors, you'll see our blog on the right-hand side of the page, and you can follow it. I'm updating it every 2 weeks with new organizational tips. There's other stuff on there, too.
And if you would like to get in touch with Penelope or maybe have her help you with some organizing, you can get a hold of her on her website, which is organizemepenelope.com. Organizemepenelope.com.
Yep.
And she's great. She's super. And if nothing else, she's going to definitely leave you feeling much better than you were before you started a conversation with her because she's so upbeat and so positive, and I love that.
Totally.
Okay. Next up is, drum roll please,
Crawl Spaces.
Crawl Spaces.
I know you were highly interested in Crawl Spaces.
I am. But before we get to Crawl Spaces, I really want to talk about this draft. We've got Mark LaLiberté. Did I just say Mark?
No.
Mark LaLiberté.
Less slight stutter. It was
maybe it is Lamarck LaLiberté.
We have Mark LaLiberté, and he is a building envelope specialist. And we're talking a little bit about a healthy home and an efficient home and building science a little bit. And here's something that a lot of people deal with this. You're at home. It's kind of cold outside. You're in the house. The heat's on a little bit. You're kind of snuggled up on the couch and reading or whatever you're doing, and you feel a cold draft come across your lap or across your chin, and you think, "What? There's a window open?" And you check the window. Window's closed. Both windows in that room. The window down the hall. Doors. Everything is closed. I don't understand, Mark, and I want you to kind of help me understand, where in the world did that come from? Yeah. And how do I stop it?
Yeah, no kidding. That's a whole comfort thing. And of course, it's an energy thing. But more importantly, it's comfort, which you had brought up earlier, how important that is. I want to be comfortable and warm in the house. And a draft is usually driven by a couple of things. The colder it gets outside, the greater the ability for drafts to occur. And that's primarily because warm air, being less dense than cold air, wants to rise up to the top of the house and leave. Mm-hmm. So if it goes out through the holes in the lid and the recessed lights or any penetrations, somehow, somewhere, the cold air has got to come in. Now, you add to that wind in the Pacific Northwest, which I've heard happens periodically. So that if you have wind and it's cold, and that wind is cold and a little damp, it's going to blow against the house and either go around it or through it. Mm-hmm. And so if you have some gaps in the siding, the little flapping felt paper allows it to go past the siding, past the sheathing. It's going to come flying in through an outlet box, a kind of a penetration in the floor. Imagine all the pieces and parts in a house. It's all a bottom plate, a subfloor, a rim joist, outlet box, a window, all this stuff somehow coming together. And, of course, wood doesn't shrink, right?
We know that it does.
Yeah, so wood shrinks and the materials kind of pull away. So that's the whole idea we were talking about earlier, is that if I could plan for the fact that varying weather conditions, wind, cold, warm, whatever it is, changes the way this building's kind of moving and expanding and contracting. So I'd say, how about if we built a building that could take those forces and still not negatively contribute to my indoor comfort?
and that's for good insulation. So let's say I was going to go and look around, and we've seen people with like a stick of incense. There's a few people that still have that, or it's the 20th today of April, so there's other things that they can use to check this. But if you just take the winds blowing and you put it by an outlet, you watch the air, the smoke moving by, you'd say, you know, maybe that outlet's drafty. I can go to Par, and you have little gaskets there that they can pull off the plate, put a gasket on there, and screw it back on, and suddenly the draft is cut in half.
And that gasket costs what? 50 cents.
Yeah, cents. It's pocket change, and it adds to comfort, and obviously saves energy. So,
and you don't need a contractor to do it.
You don't have to have a contractor. You have to have a Penelope.
Yes,
right? Nobody else in the family knows how to do it.
Because you have to get out of your chair.
Get out of your
chair to do it. That's right.
She'll do it for you. That's right.
Okay, we're gonna take a quick break. When we come back, a little bit more about cold drafts in the house and maybe a little something about your crawl space. You're listening to Tony and Corey, your Weekend Warriors.
Listening to Weekend Warriors Home Improvement Show with Tony and Corey, built by Par Lumber. Now, here's Tony and Corey.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Tony was pointing at me.
We were talking about drafts in the house before we left, and this is something that struck me, so I'm going to cover this with you. I said draft in the house. You went immediately to an outlet. I'm thinking to myself, that was a window open because that was a real draft, but you're saying, man, a draft like that can come out of a tiny little place.
Yeah, imagine an outlet box that's drilled into the wall. It's kind of really sloppy around the opening because the sheetrock contractor uses a router and gouges around that. The electrician's punching a bunch of holes in the wall to run the wire. So I want this box to just be there. I don't want to know how the power got there.
Right.
But there's wires all over the place. So the place, and then you got a leak in the sheathing that kind of comes together as a joint. So imagine all the leaks and the air outside's looking for a place to come in.
And now you multiply that by 25 outlets, light switches, and stuff that you've got in the walls. All of a sudden, that's a huge hole, people.
That's right.
I mean, that's like having a window or a door open. That's what we're talking about. If it's cold outside and it's warm inside, the cold air will come in. The heat will go up and out because heat rises. We know that. The heat goes up and goes out, and the cold comes in. It comes through whatever passageway that is available to it, and that is, at the very least, it's going to be outlets and light switches in your exterior walls. That right there is a problem.
Yeah, even interior walls. When we do diagnostics in houses, sometimes you'll go to like a pocket door on an interior wall. And when we depressurize the house, you stand there and you can feel cold air pouring in through the pocket door. But if you look at a pocket door and how it goes into a wall, it's wide open to the attic. So all of a sudden, it's the path of what you said is air comes in through the path of least resistance. So whatever holes are biggest and easiest, those are the paths that it chooses. So if an outlet box, a wire hole, a door, a recess light are paths, it's not going to look to sneak in one spot you want it to in your bedroom. It's going to come in wherever
right.
It can find a way. And the biggest hole wins.
Right. Know? So fill those leaky areas where you have got that are from a non-living space to a living space. Fill those areas, and you can stop those drafts from coming into your house. And it can be as simple as a gasket at Par Lumber, your local hardware store, and keep that draft from coming into your house. Control it. You can control it.
Even the foam, you know, that little foam cans. You know, it's called, what do they call it? Yeah. Great stuff or crack
sure,
seal.
Sure. Great stuff.
Great stuff. It's awesome. So you go in there and you squirt a little of that in there, and be careful. You know, a little bit works good. Don't put a whole bunch in there, just enough.
Right.
But there's really inexpensive techniques. They say that the most cost-effective thing you can do is to reduce air leakage with the fastest return on investment. So you spend $100 on a weekend to do some air sealing, and it pays for itself almost immediately.
Yeah.
So it's and it adds comfort and all that good stuff. So I think it's just one of those really basics. Now, you'd say, if I'm going to build a new house, then wouldn't I want them to do that before I got started? So
yes.
That's why you can see that evolution of, hey, this is bad, this is good. So, you know, it's kind of a nice change.
Yeah, that's good. Okay, so let's talk about, this is the last thing I think we've got. Let's talk a little bit about the crawl space.
Yeah.
I read an article that you wrote and talked about having a sealed crawl space. Now, for as long as I can remember, and still today, people's crawl spaces are vented.
Correct.
And sometimes during the cold months, they'll put a styrofoam plug in those vents. And sometimes in the summertime, they don't take them out. And sometimes they do.
That's right.
And so let's talk first about why the vents are there, and then let's talk a little bit about your, you know, how you feel about that not being vented. So
it's a great question, actually, and you set it up perfectly because that's the challenge. The vents in the crawl space are designed to supposedly let outdoor air kind of move through that space under your house, which is really nothing more than the wood sitting on top of a concrete foundation, and then underneath it is dirt.
Dirt,
so you kind of go, okay, that's cool. So what's in that dirt? You like spiders and water and moisture and a little bit of mold, the neighbor's cat. Sometimes you find a rodent in there. You know, if you go into your crawl space, you're on all fours. You shouldn't go down there without a headlamp and a small caliber weapon. Right? I don't know what I'm going to run into. Yeah. So if that's the underneath side of your house, is that connected, that air in there, connected to your house? You'd say, of course. So it's a really good example because I was in Bend one time and they had said, I plug up the vents in the fall and I try to remember to unplug them in the spring. Like, try to remember. So imagine that all winter long now you tell the dirt in there, oh, by the way, you can't evaporate now because I closed the vents. So the idea is that if it's supposed to try to move moisture away and move out pollutants, but I close the holes because of weather, then that doesn't make much sense. So if I've got bugs and insects down there, I'm going to call the spray poison guy to spray poison in my crawl space. And as he's leaving, he's got this mask on. And you say, well, when can I turn the furnace back on? And he says, as soon as I get to my car. You know? So it's kind of interesting. Like, well, I'm going to poison my crawl space. So the idea is that if you think about crawl spaces as short basements, a basement doesn't have openings to the outside.
Right.
A basement is completely insulated, and you have an open floor, and that's connected. So why when a crawl space happens, does a short crawl space suddenly need to be all open to the outside?
Right.
And the premise was that if it's going to have a dirt floor, I've got to ventilate it. So the catch is, how about if I put a really thick layer of plastic, sealed it well, insulated the walls, and conditioned that space to be warm and dry? Now imagine that the wood, the flooring, the subfloor, the OSB is all sitting in a nice conditioned space like it should be, not in a cold, damp place, which it shouldn't be. So it's a really interesting exercise that now we're seeing nationally in the southeast part of the United States, all crawl spaces are being conditioned properly. I was in at a hotel in Portland this week at a conference, and there's a guy that's all he does for a living is fix people's crawl space here.
Terra
in the Pacific Northwest. Terra firma.
We've had him on the show.
Yeah, he comes in, he goes, I go in, I fix it and dry him up and make him more comfortable. And people are like, wow, that's really cool. And I don't have to go down there, and I could maybe even store a box in there instead of, you know, hope that the critters don't get in.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really interesting that when you think about it that way, you go, yeah, I wouldn't want that in my house. I don't want a wet, damp dirt. I'd like to make it solid. So we can design that up front. The cost is very small, even on the front end. Tell your contractor, I'd like to do a conditioned crawl space, it's called. And some contractors say, no, you can't do that by code, and that's absolutely not true. In the code, it's always said you do not need to ventilate conditioned crawl spaces. Mm-hmm. So it's okay.
And then so you also mentioned in that article that I read that there are steps you need to take to make sure you're doing it properly.
Correct.
You mentioned something about radon mitigation in there.
Correct.
And
ventilation, too. I mean, you can do it without it being open to the air. You can put a small fan that pulls the air out of the crawl space, and it pulls that air from the house.
Oh, okay.
So imagine if it takes house air, which you already need to get rid of anyway.
Right.
I might as well pull it through my crawl space first to pick up some extra pollutants and a little bit of moisture, and then exhaust it outside. So that seems to be kind of logical. You know, So I think the idea is pretty solid, but you're right. You have to make sure you design it properly. And it can be done. There's great information. There's if somebody wants to get on the technical side, there's a website called buildingscience.com. And they have books on technology and books on research and stuff. People said, I have no life, kind of like me. I'd like to go somewhere to learn this stuff. That's a place to go. And they're all neutral books on just the technology of buildings.
Wow, that is I mean, I think when Corey and I had Terra Firma on the radio and we were talking to them about it and we were seeing some of the pictures of the projects that they'd completed, I remember thinking to myself, man, it's like a clean room down there.
It's like a clean room,
you know? And 99 out of 100 people haven't even looked under their house. But if they did, that is not what they're going to find down there.
Or want to go there.
It's something that you would have to request because it's what you want, because it gives you a warm floor, because it keeps that nasty, gross, terrible air from potentially coming up through your floor into your house. I mean, it's safer, it's better, it's cleaner, it's more efficient.
Imagine if they offered you that. Would you like a dirty, wet, crummy crawl space under your house, or would you like a nice, comfortable, dry one? You'd go, oh, I'll take the crummy thing with the wet and the bugs and things.
Yeah, I know.
So and that's what's interesting is if you had that option, you go, well, of course I don't want that.
Right.
So people just go, well, I guess that's what everybody does. And what we want to make sure is people go, no, I have a choice.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't cost hardly any more money, let's pick the better one.
Right.
And if your contractor is telling you that it's a $20,000 upgrade, find a new contractor.
You chose the wrong guy, probably.
Yeah,
right.
Because it really isn't that expensive, and it's really a smart choice.
Mark, this has been eye-opening. Thank you so much for pouring your knowledge out for us all to benefit from. Mark LaLiberté. It was great having you on the show.
Great to have you. Thank you for doing such a great service for the people who listen, that all of you listen to the show, and such a good thing to learn more about our lives and what happens.
Awesome. Okay, that's it for this week. Next week, we're going to be live on location at Clark County Fairgrounds, the Home and Garden Idea Fair. So that's next week with New Tradition Homes. Tune in. We're out.